In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved Christ, we often speak of today's generation as one of entitlement. Many bemoan the fact that young adult children are ungrateful, and they look upon the kindnesses and sacrifices that are shown them as their due. They become indignant if they don't get what they expect. Perhaps we treat God in the same way. We receive so many things from God from day to day that we take them for granted and show little gratitude. We come to expect them as our due. If we pray for an important thing and God gives it to us, some at best give a quick thank you and then fall back into their normal routine of forgetfulness. We do not give much thought to all the daily blessings that God gives us, such as a warm home, clothing, food, water, temperate weather, friends, family, health, non-sinful recreations and hobbies, the protection of our guardian angel, and above all, our religion, and the benefit of a traditional Catholic parish. All these things are gifts from God. We are given these things by an all-loving Heavenly Father who watches over us, provides for us, and loves us unconditionally. My dearly beloved in Christ, we should ask ourselves, how often do we thank God for the day-to-day blessings He gives us? In addition, we should ask ourselves if we feel we are entitled to these blessings, or if we would become indignant if God, for our good, would withdraw any. When days run smoothly and all goes well, few stop to thank God. The moment we hit a bump or come across a brick wall, our complaints are quick to surface. We feel we shouldn't have to put up with one thing or another and totally fail to see that all things that we encounter, both good and bad, are all part of God's loving plan for us. All His gifts are not equally pleasant, but we should accept them all from His hands. When things happen that we do not like, we too often react like spoiled children and feel that we deserve better. At the same time, we ignore or forget all He has already given us. Parents teach their little children proper manners and to say thank you when someone does something for them. How much more are we indebted to God, who is at our call, tends us and provides for us all day and all night long for our entire lives. He showers us with a never-ending succession of gifts. My dearly beloved in Christ, we should foster a disposition of thanksgiving for all our blessings by praying as we should and by doing what God asks of us. This is the least we can do to show our gratitude. We should not be stingy on our part or let contradictions, perplexities, or difficulties hinder us from always praising and thanking God. There's a very short prayer which brings us to mind. It says, "Blessed be Thou, O Lord my God, in all things that befall us." If we truly love God, we will always be thankful and find ways to show our gratitude, for thankfulness ripens into love, and love is the fulfilling of the law. We have the opportunity to show our gratitude in a special way as we enter upon this Christmas season. Instead of succumbing to the hustle and frustration of the material world, we should stop to consider what is truly important and what we really cannot do without. The more we're caught up in the deluge of the demands of a materialistic world, the more we forget what Christmas truly represents, and the more we put God on the back burner. Following this pattern leads one to exclaim, "I can hardly wait until Christmas is over." My dearly beloved in Christ, we should be grateful for the fact that God so loves us that He sent His Son Jesus to earth to be born in the poverty of a piercing cold and dark stable. He came to give us the ultimate gift, that of heaven, by suffering during His entire life and by dying on the cross for us. This is a debt which each one of us has incurred, and yet not one of us is able to repay. We cannot repay, but we can spend our entire life showing our gratitude. For once, we should ignore the call of the merchants and should first and foremost prepare for Jesus' coming. Are we grateful enough to attend an extra Mass or two, to shut off the television and computer long enough for the rosary, to give a proper amount of time to night prayers rather than plopping into bed because we can hardly keep awake, to make a greater effort to be kind and patient, to be a peacemaker within the family and its extensions rather than nurture arguments, old feuds and unforgiven affronts, to refrain from overspending so that a proper contribution can be made to the church and the poor, to avoid parties that distract and take time from what should really be done, to avoid unnecessary chattiness and gossip, and to make small sacrifices of food or sweets instead of using this time to indulge. This would indeed prove our gratitude for so great a gift. My dearly beloved in Christ, the fabricated externals which the world promotes as necessary for the season are not of the essence of Christmas. The tinsel, lights, gifts, delicacies, and food are not really necessary. If we follow the materialism of the time, the day after Christmas, we will find ourselves in a void of unfulfilled expectations and an emptiness of heart. The ways of the world will never completely satisfy and will always disappoint. Thus, it's most important to thank God by showing our gratitude for His coming to earth to redeem us. Thankfulness ripens into love, and love is the fulfilling of the law. Let me end with the touching and true story of what can bring the meaning of Christmas to heart. In spite of the fun and laughter, 13-year-old Frank Wilson was not happy. It was true that he had received all the presents he wanted, and he enjoyed these traditional Christmas Eve reunions of relatives, this year at Aunt Susan's, for the purpose of exchanging gifts and good wishes. But Frank was not happy because this was his first Christmas without his brother Steve, who during the year had been killed by a reckless driver. Frank missed his brother and the close companionship they had together. Frank said goodbye to his relatives and explained to his parents that he was leaving a little early to see a friend. From there, he could walk home. Since it was cold outside, Frank put on his new plaid jacket. It was his favorite gift. The other presents he placed on his sled. Then Frank headed out, hoping to find the patrol leader of his Boy Scout troop. Frank always felt understood by him. Though rich in wisdom, he lived in the flats, the section of town where most of the poor lived, and his patrol leader did odd jobs to help support his family. To Frank's disappointment, his friend was not at home. As Frank hiked down the street toward home, he caught glimpses of trees and decorations in many of the small houses. Then, through one front window, he glimpsed a shabby room with the limp stockings hanging over an empty fireplace. A woman was seated near them, weeping. The stockings reminded him of the way he and his brother always hung theirs side by side. The next morning, they would be bursting with presents. A sudden thought struck Frank. He had not done his good turn for the day. Before the impulse passed, he knocked on the door. "Yes?" the sad voice of the woman inquired. "May I come in?" "You're very welcome," she said, seeing his sled full of gifts and assuming he was making a collection. "But I have no food or gifts for you. I have nothing for my own children." "That's not why I'm here," Frank replied. "Please choose whatever present you like for your children from this sled." "Why, God bless you," the maze woman answered gratefully. She selected some candies, a game, the toy airplane, and a puzzle. When she took the new Scout flashlight, Frank almost cried out. Finally, the stockings were full. "Won't you tell me your name?" she asked as Frank was leaving. "Just call me the Christmas Scout," he replied. The visit left the boy touched and with an unexpected flicker of joy in his heart. He understood that his sorrow was not the only sorrow in the world. Before he left the flats, he had given away the remainder of his gifts. The plaid jacket had gone to a shivering boy. But he trudged homeward, cold and uneasy. Having given his presents away, Frank now could think of no reasonable explanation to offer his parents. He wondered how he could make them understand. "Where are your presents, son?" asked his father as he entered the home. "I gave them away. The airplane from Aunt Susan, your coat from Grandma, your flashlight. We thought you were happy with your gifts." "I was very happy," the boy answered lamely. "But Frank, how could you be so impulsive?" his mother asked. "How will we explain to the relatives who spent so much time and gave so much love shopping for you?" His father was firm. "You made your choice, Frank. We can't afford any more presents." His brother gone, his family disappointed in him, Frank suddenly felt dreadfully alone. He had not expected a reward for his generosity, for he knew that a good deed always should be its own reward. It would be tarnished otherwise. So he did not want his gifts back. However, he wondered if he would ever again truly recapture joy in his life. He thought he had this evening, but it had been fleeting. Frank thought of his brother and sobbed himself to sleep. The next morning, he came downstairs to find his parents listening to Christmas music on the radio. Then the announcer spoke. "Merry Christmas, everybody. The nicest Christmas story we have this morning comes from the flats. A crippled boy down there has a new sled this morning. Another youngster has a fine plaid jacket. And several families report that their children were made happy last night by gifts from a teenage boy who simply referred himself as a Christmas Scout. No one could identify him." Frank felt his father's arms go around his shoulders, and he saw his mother smiling through her tears. "Why didn't you tell us? We didn't understand. We're so proud of you, son." The carols came over the air again, filling the room with music. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.